Welcome back to another edition of the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Leah Tubby. Right here on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Twitch for another day. And today, we're going to talk about what's going on with our week three opponent already. I mean, it's week three already. Can you believe it? Man. I mean, where did the time go?
I mean, yeah, just like that, man. Maybe because preseason, nobody really looked forward to preseason. So it's like, boom, now that the season started, people have been so hungry for real football. We just can't get enough of it, man. And the games throughout the year has been so good. The Thursday night matchups have been good, you know, no matter if it's your team or not. The Thursday matchups have been good. So, yeah, man, we're having so much fun. You know, that's what they say. Time flies when you're having fun, and we are having fun. So especially when you're 2-0.
Exactly. You know, that's a good point. If it were the other way around, if it were 0-2, I think that it would be dragging right now. It'd be like, oh, we just need that win. But, you know, it is much better. You're ready for it. You're excited for another week. It's so funny. I saw a meme before the season started where, all right, here we go. For the next 4 months, I get to let a football team dictate my mood for the entire week, depending on whether they win or lose. And it's the truth. It is the honest to God's truth. If you're wrapped up in a football fan, in a football team, then as a fan, it totally will wreck you when they lose. And you got to go through the whole week just waiting for the opportunity to get back and enjoy it. So, I mean, this week it's gonna be fun. We've got our opponent locked in, and it's the Washington Commanders Sunday at 1 on the road at FedEx Field. Facing former quarterback of the Eagles, former first-round draft pick, former heir apparent, apparently, to be the next Eagle great, and it just didn't work out that way. You know, we ended up winning a Super Bowl with this guy, on our team. He didn't lead us there, but he was there. He's got a ring.
So. He was leading us there before he got hurt. But who knows, man? Who knows? But he was leading. He was having an MVP season. The Eagles were playing well until he, you know, just made the decision to take that run into the end zone against the Rams and just got unlucky, just an unlucky hit. And his whole career has been questionable ever since that play. You know, third team in 3 years, you know. So, yeah, I mean, he's definitely going through it, but he's still a solid quarterback, and we're still up against it this week.
Yeah, and it seemed like such an innocuous hit, too. I mean, it didn't look bad at all, and I remember sliding off the couch slowly, like in death's grip, as I saw our championship hopes vanish. The funny thing about that, though, is that I was always a Nick Foles fan from the – I don't know if we even showed it. I had a tweet I saw on Facebook from a long time ago where I was so excited that they drafted Foles after seeing him in preseason. And so my wife turned to me and she just went, hey, you know, you still have that Nick Foles jersey, don't you? Nick Foles is okay. Uh-huh. You like him, don't you? And I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
And I put it on. I never stopped wearing it the entire rest of the year. And, of course, there was more into it that season than just Nick. But Nick really, without him – and the offense being tailored toward where he was, it's hard to see where we would have gone. But here we are, you know, Wentz, like you said, third team in 3 years, you know, went to Indianapolis to be reunited with Frank Reich, our former OC, and it didn't work out there at all. Hey, after seeing the Colts the first 2 weeks of the season, I'm wondering if it'll work out anywhere for anyone in that team because Matt Ryan's not doing anything with that team. And now it seemed like they jettisoned Wentz when maybe he wasn't necessarily all of the problems behind the Colts. Because if you've watched him in the first couple of weeks of the season, he's not performed horrible. He did in the first half against Detroit, but against Jacksonville, granted it was Jacksonville, 4 TDs, you know, he's played well enough. So it's not going to be a gimme this Sunday. They're going to put up a fight.
Right. You know, I think the best thing coming into this is having already played the same opponent, a common opponent, which is the Lions, and in only 2 weeks. So it's not like we played the Lions week 16 versus week 2. We both played this team we're still kind of coming off playing these teams still, you know, and we have a lot of information there, man, a lot of information going against Washington, because like you said, you know, Wentz played like we kind of always know him to play. He's going to take some sacks. He's going to make some mistakes. You know, he can get you back into a game. He can lose you a game. You know, you just really don't know what you're going to get. And that's why he's still moving on. And I'm not really sure what's going on up there in Indy. I know Frank Wright has to be probably on the hot seat right now. But I will say this, it's not like Matt Ryan necessarily had the Falcons, where we beat the Falcons last year with Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
And they looked bad. So maybe it's Matt Ryan.
I don't know.
Maybe it's Matt Ryan and Wentz. We don't know. But you it does say a lot when you have Carson Wentz goes back to Indy, not back to Indy, but goes to Indy back to an old coach that he's familiar with, that's familiar with him, and still doesn't have any success to the point where he got kicked out of Indy. Mm-hmm. Like the owner didn't even want Ursay, the man writing the checks, didn't want you there anymore.
Right.
Once the owner, you get the owner's attention, that means you're playing pretty bad. Or you're not impressing him at all. But this is coming from a guy who's had Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, you know, over the course of his ownership there. So we're definitely up against it with Washington. I ain't scared, man. I'm ready for this week to get started. I just think when it comes to Wentz, jump right into it, man. Just, you know, when it comes to Wentz, what did the Lions do well last week? They put the pressure on him. You know, Washington last week had five straight three and outs to start the game. Five straight, and one of them was a sack fumble for a safety. But that's five straight. In every series, Wentz either took a sack that stalled the play, intentional grounding, which is damn near a sack, right? Same results, isn't it? Like, you're losing yardage in the down. Five straight, right? And they got shut out in that whole first half because they kept the pressure on Wentz. The longest drive they put together was six plays in that whole first half with five three and outs because they were getting pressure on Wentz, which goes to the Eagles, which is one of our things that we keep trying to figure out, can we do consistently? So what we see just as of last week is Wentz's weakness is kind of our weakness as well, too, getting to the quarterback without the blitz. Right. That way we can keep more players back because they have good receivers out there in Washington, man. That's just one of my top things. Think about, like, okay, we're going to beat them, do what the Lions did last week, keep pressure on Wentz, completely shut him out in the first half. And he did that classic Wentz fumble in the end zone. Or interception in the end zone. You know, he does that a lot. Mm-hmm. It's so weird. So we keep him with his heels against his own goal line. We keep him rattled, man. And we can be in control of that game just like the Lions were.
Here's the thing, though, that I have to say, I watched that game as the kind of my feature game last week because I knew that this was our opponent. And because I have a soft spot in my heart for the Lions, having grown up in Detroit. And I wanted to see them get a win against Washington at home since we beat them. You know, let's let something good happen to them. And yeah, the first half, it was total domination. They left some points off the board even because they were winning both sides of the ball. Second half, though, I think part of it was, yeah, they stopped putting pressure on Carson Wentz, and it gave him some space to make some plays. Washington's defense changed it up and made some adjustments. But in the second half, I mean, the final was 36-27, and if not for the interception, there was a shot where the Commanders could have come back and won that game. And a lot of teams were doing that in the second half on Sunday, was that they go down early and then they were having these surges. I saw a lot of Carson in that second half. It looked like the old Carson Wentz. He looked elusive. He looked like he was in command of the offense. And I think maybe part of that is like the Eagles did, have done in the past, where you got a big lead, like the Eagles did against the Lions, where you get a 17-point lead and you take the foot off. And you end up paying for it. And I do believe that is. But he did finish the game, you know, 30 of 46 for 337 yards and three touchdowns in the one interception. But here's the thing. He was sacked five times, like you said. The pressure that the Lions put on Wentz was immense. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, but those are typically considered like garbage time numbers. You know, those two touch. I know it was close late, but it was about what, 14-point game going into the fourth quarter. I guess, you know, tuning in, I never felt like Washington were ever going to win that football game. So yeah, you know, and a lot of teams do go in kind of a prevent. Well, they scored on that first drive. That's what kind of helped them. They get the ball back, mm-hmm. and you have that 40-yard play to Dotson. Mm-hmm. You know that. So then they get, you know, they back up again. But so you had that one big play to really, you know, bust the game. Well, at least make them come back and okay, get them thinking, because they were real comfortable. If you're Detroit, if you completely dominate, I mean, they completely 5-3 and outs. 2 6-play drives and a safety, sack safety, you are feeling really good. So it's natural for a team to come out and get complacent almost off the bat, you know? Right. And I think that's what Detroit did. And then they kind of got right back into it. I never felt like Washington could stop Detroit either, you know, if they wanted to. I never really saw it. I thought they had just complete control of that game. And, you know, hey, you can have all the numbers, man. You know, Kirk Cousins has numbers, but do you have wins? You know, I'm not one of those guys, you have to win a certain way. You have to have a certain stat. I just want you to win. You don't have to win how I want you to win. Who am I? You just have to win. And so it doesn't matter how many touchdowns you throw, how many you run, however we get it. If we win a 3-0 game, did we win? You know, and that's the name of the game, man, because – you know, not every game is going to be a blowout. You're not going to be able to put up 30 points or 20 plus points every single game. But I do think it gets better for teams when they go into that no huddle. They switched it up. They put Wentz in a no huddle in that second half. And that kind of helped because he does. He has good receivers. I mean, Curtis Samuel is a beast.
Exactly.
You know, Dotson is a very good wide receiver. You know, he had a solid year last year. This should be his breakout year after – I believe he didn't play his rookie season due to an injury. I think he got injured in like preseason or OTAs or something like that. It's basically the whole season. And then you also have a veteran tight end in Logan Thomas, you know, who's, you know, we know Wentz likes to go to the tight ends. Dude's like 6'6", 6'7", former quarterback. So he knows, I'm sure he's talking to Wentz. I'm sure they're communicating. And you see Wentz getting the ball to him more. I mean, the interception was he was trying to get the ball to Thomas. I think he just sailed it.
Right.
I think he just sailed it. So yeah, man. He has some weapons out there. So I can see how he got back into the game because you do have him, but we know when you were up 22 at the half, it's going to be some slippage there. But I thought the Lions finished the game well enough to get the job done.
I hear. And you even mentioned Terry McLaurin. I mean, they're loaded offensively. He does have weapons, and so that's something that Wentz really hasn't had since the 2017 year season in Philly. The year after, of course, he got hurt again. But you know, Torrey Smith was declining, and Jeffrey was not the same receiver as well. So and Aguilar was dropping everything that was thrown his way. So Wentz has got weapons that he hasn't had before. So I think with a good offensive line, and they've got a decent one, and a Gibson at running back. It's something that the Eagles can't take lightly. Now, like you said, I'm not afraid. I'm not as more worried about this game like I was going into the Vikings game, where I was really, you know, looking at the Vikings on both sides of the ball at being a much better team than they played on Monday night. But yeah, it is some cautious optimism where you've got to take a step back and go, they've got some weapons. We're gonna, and you're going on the road. It isn't going to be a gimme, even though, like I said, the right now, right now the line has got the Eagles favored by 6.5. So
yeah, that's a lot of points.
That's a big spread.
I'm just more so coming at the angle of like, we know what it takes to beat Carson Wentz, and if we don't do it, we deserve to lose because we know what it takes to beat him. This isn't an elite quarterback. I mean, if you really look at it, he's had the injuries. He's been injury prone. He's coming out of having what I thought should have been the NFL MVP last year and Jonathan Taylor you just had the best running back in football and still couldn't get it done with Michael Pittman as a solid receiver. T.Y. Hilton is aging, so you probably didn't have that there. I think he had Pascal out there for a little bit too, but I watched games where he couldn't even hit Pittman if he tried, you know. So, and like I say, he's coming out of having he's in a situation where he has better receivers, but he doesn't have a better line than he had in Indy last year. I think Indy has like the best center in football out there. Is it the guard? What's his name? You know what I'm talking about. They have like one of the best linemen and the best running back in football last year. Should have been MVP in my opinion. I thought Jonathan Taylor took the NFL by storm last year. So he's coming from an impressive line, the best running back. He has better receivers that we think, but these guys also don't have a long resume either. Curtis Samuel, who, you know, he's having a good season. We know he's explosive. Mm-hmm. McLaurin, we know he's explosive. He was out there with Crowder. You know, then Dotson, we know he can play at Penn State, but we haven't really seen what he could really do at the NFL level. And I think that's what Washington is. It's a lot of question marks. Can Wentz ever get back to that NFL? We're still talking about the most recent data we have on Wentz success is 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, 5 years ago.
Well, you know, Washington would say 2 weeks ago, because they put out the tweet, you know, that right after the Jacksonville game that said, you know, Giants suck. Eagles almost got outscored by the Lions. Cowboys going to get sewn on national TV tonight by Tom Brady. Washington with a dub on the back of quattro TD throws from their quarterback. Everyone doubted life is good. That didn't age well. That was, you know, I think when you beat Jacksonville in the first week of the season and you're at home, you shouldn't be calling anybody out week one. You know, that takes some balls right there to be able to do that. And Commanders did so. And so, they would have you believe that Carson is going to be successful this year.
And there's some deception.
Yeah.
In that first line.
What's that?
I was going to bring that slide. I was going to comment on the slides you had up. Eagles almost got outscored by the Lions. Now, how is that in any relation to how the Eagles offense played? Because the offense they scored four touchdowns.
Right.
So it's, you know, it all depends on how you word things. They won't tell you that the Eagles scored four touchdowns. The Lions scoring is the Eagles defense, which is not, has anything to do with Wentz. Is my point. It just shows you how like people just put stuff out on the internet and all it takes you to just read it. And said this makes absolutely no sense because the Eagles scored four touchdowns and a defensive touchdown. We scored five touchdowns. And they saying that has nothing to do with their quarterback is my point.
Right. So what you're saying is somebody in Washington spun an article. That never happens. That never happens in Washington.
Right. I shouldn't be as surprised. Well,
the first line, goofy. Even if you want to take the personal attack of the Eagles out of the way, Giants suck. They won week one against the Titans with the 2-point conversion. So as much as I don't like the Giants, you can't that you know, it was a really bad, let's say it was a really bad, they turned around and did that. And then they go to Detroit. Again, you put that out before you end up going to Detroit after saying crap about Detroit. So let's take a quick break and talk about our segment. So look at this. This is our Hell to the Gnaw this week. And this is an image that the Washington Commanders, this was actually from one of their reporters, that saw this in these mugs being sold outside of FedEx Field on week one. Now, Washington Commanders logo, that looks all fine and good, you know, but take a quick look at it. That's this Washington State outline, not DC in the background. Somebody actually had these made, and the reporter says these were being sold at an official licensed truck outside of the stadium. They weren't being sold inside. At the souvenir shop, but a licensed truck. So either somebody there made a really bad mistake and allowed them to be sold there. But this is, you know, they put this out. So this is a big foul in Washington, but that's not the real Hell to the Gnaw. The Hell to the Gnaw on this is what Detroit did after the week two victory. They posted this. on their Twitter, that Victory Monday coffee hits different, and it's got the Washington logo with the state of Michigan. Now, that's brilliant. That is absolutely a brilliant tweet. I love it.
Yeah.
So you're going to come out and
Washington want to pop off on the internet. This is what you get.
You call out the Lions. Actually, you know, this Lion team we saw, it might not be the same Lions that we're used to. They've got a better head coach. They've got an offensive line, and they've got a good running back. They've got good wide receivers, adequate quarterback. He needs to improve, but he's still coming along. He's, you know, he's only been in the league as long as Wentz. Probably he's played better than Wentz in the last few years, to be honest with you. So he's actually played in a Super Bowl that Wentz hasn't done. So yeah, so they called out Detroit and they ended up paying the price. You know, they ended up losing that game. But that means I always worry about that when a team loses before they go and play the Eagles. So that means they need a win, that they're really going to be looking hard for it. So it's something that the Eagles are just going to have to prep for. I mean, it's what you do every week. And another thing is they're coming off a short week. So we had the Monday night game. So, you know, the one less day of practice to get ready. I'm sure that they have contingencies, plans that you got to, you know, that you got to know what you're going to be doing. You know, I know that Travis and Jason Kelce are going to be doing their podcast on Wednesday like they always do. But which is, if you haven't listened to their podcast, by the way, man, they're it's brilliant. It is absolute brilliance. If you haven't seen it, it's called In the Heights. So they, you know, they have their regular Wednesday day off. So there's a compressed schedule for the Eagles to sit there and go. And luckily, it's just up the road. They're just going up to you know, FedEx Field in D.C. Yeah. And what is it, Andover?
What is there? I don't even know what they're Commander Field.
It's FedEx Field, but it's like an Andover, Maryland. Might as well say Baltimore. They're Baltimore South, something like that. So
yeah, it is Andover, Maryland. Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, definitely not underestimating the Commanders. Like I said, I'll say this again. We know what it takes to beat a Carson Wentz. We just need to do it. And if we don't, we'll suffer the consequences from it, because you don't let any quarterback just sit back there. But we do know if we can get Wentz on his heels, which, you know, Detroit couldn't do to us, so I don't see why we can't do it to Washington. You know, it should be something there, man. It should be something there. We know he's going to give us something. He's going to make a mistake. We do know that at some point, unless we're just blowing it. If we play anywhere close to how we played last week, mind you, I'm basing our defense on how our secondary played last week. I think, man, you know, I think we have enough in our secondary to match their young talent, because it still is young talent. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going up against Devontae Adams. You know, we're not going up against, you know, Keenan Allen or, you know, Cooper Kupp isn't coming into town. You know, I mean, let's just keep it real here. Most of these guys are, you know, they're still well known to the fact that they're like probably not even guaranteed starters on most people's fantasy roster. My point, maybe Curtis Samuels, but
McLaurin. Dodson, I would start McLaurin. I think Dotson's now. I think Dotson. You know, that's 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, I think all three. If you've got any one of the Commander's receivers, I would start him.
Yeah, because but if you look at how the games have gone, it's been iffy, man. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of players out there. Like I said, we know they're going to throw the ball because they're behind. But if the Commanders are winning a game, they also haven't shown that they have what it takes to run the ball effectively as well, too. So,
If we look
we should be able to beat this team. I don't see why not.
So if you look at the stats, I mean, comparatively across the board, Wentz is, you know, over two games, this is average. You know, he's thrown for more yards than Hurts, but Hurts has definitely rushed for much more. Completion percentages are on total point. Offense. You know, Wentz has thrown for 7 TDs, 3 INTs, but they don't take into account Hurts rushing TDs. Which he's, you know, he's had 3 TDs total, offense. And then, and then you've had the rushing, so... But here's the thing that we're talking about running backs. You're looking at Gibson is averaging 43 yards a game. So Sanders, 88. And then you get down here and you've got A.J. Brown with 112 yards average versus Terry McLaurin, their leading receiver, 66 yards over two games. So, you know, that's a big difference when you're looking across the board. If you get into the weeds with it, of course, there's the spread. We'll come back to that. If you get into the weeds with it, you know, about the same points per game, but points allowed per game, they've given up an average of 29 points a game over two games. Eagles that given only given up seven on Monday night sure helps that. Yardage, close. So the Eagles have actually gained almost 100 yards more than the Commanders. Passing yards.
Best in the league.
Yeah, a little bit more. And then the running yards. Look at the disparity there. The running yards per game, the Commanders 24th, and the Eagles are second right now in the league. Time of possession, fairly simple. Eagles, this is what blows me away about the Eagles. We talked a lot about this last year. Fourth in time of possession after two games, which is, to me, where they have to be with Jonathan Gannon. Get off the field. That is the key. Get your team more possessions than the other team. Third down efficiency, about even, 56% between each of them. Eagles need to get some more sacks on the board, only three on the season so far. This is where the pressure comes in. They really played great on Monday night. They need more of that. But then the interceptions, we got Slay has, two of those. Bradbury has one, and Maddox has the other. So four interceptions to their one. That's a great start, and that's what we need more of on Sunday. We're going to need to get into Wentz's face, like you said, and force his throws, to where our pressure is. Bradbury and Slay getting up. Because the big thing for me is, if we've got Bradbury and Slay, say, covering Dotson and McLaurin, who's covering Samuel? Now, do we have Maddox out there on every three wide receiver set? If they try to do what they did against the Vikings and they have Hassan Reddick covering Samuel or whoever is in the slot, that could be a disaster. So yeah, it's going to affect how the Eagles play that role as far as getting pressure to Wentz if they can't keep a linebacker in the lineup and the Commanders are always going to a three wides. That could be trouble. Mm-hmm. I see that as being a potential for an issue. Otherwise,
I think if we come in.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was saying otherwise, I think
if we come in doing. I'm sorry. It must
be a delay. Yeah, there is a little bit of
a delay. Go on.
No, I was saying otherwise, outside of all that thing, if we can keep Gibson contained, then it's going to lead to Wentz having to take over the game. So that matchup's probably the biggest for me, is that slot receiver on who's going to cover him. Go ahead.
Yeah. Washington has been down every single game. Like, they were down to Jacksonville majority of the game. That's why when I look at Wentz stats, these are all come from struggling stats. This has come from a team that's been desperate. Every game they've played, they've been desperate the entire game. They were losing to Jacksonville up into the third quarter. They were scoreless in the whole first half against Detroit. So, I mean, that's why, When I see the names on the paper and I get it, but when you watch the first two games, they've been down. And most of these are all desperation numbers. This isn't our numbers still come from being in control of every game we've played in all year, and we still have these numbers. These are true numbers. You know, the Washington constantly being under the gun, having to throw it. That's why you see Gibson's numbers so down. It's because they're not showing balance, because they're always down. It's not that Gibson is a bad running back. It's that their offense can't get going because of, like you said, you look at the first half, 5 3-and-outs. I mean, we should be able to learn from that and replicate some of the things that Detroit did. Now, that's just my biggest thing with Washington. Like I said, not underestimating them. I believe that's why the spread is so wide. There, 6.5 away, that's a pretty big spread. Being away team and it being a divisional game, it makes that spread just really look ballooned. But I think it's because if you've watched any Washington games objectively, they've been behind. Simple as that. Every game, simple as that. They've never looked great at any point. They have been just desperation. So you see these big plays, these chunks. So when you look at the score line at the end and you look at the box score, it looks like, oh, they've done something, but it's all desperation. Where you have the Eagles, we didn't even score in the second half. And that's with the blocked field goal, but we also look like we weren't as pressed as we were in the first half. That means we are in control of how we run our offense. And when you do have that running back that's averaging over 4 yards a carry in Sanders, you start to utilize that in the second half, and that's what we did. That's why I just think we're just a better team than the Commanders, because if Jacksonville sucks like people say they do, but they beat the Colts like people think they suck as well. You know, they Washington is beat. The only team they beat, we don't even know how good they are because they played the Colts and still didn't wax the Colts. It's just the game just looked annoying when they was playing the Colts. It just looked like
I thought they waxed the Colts. Didn't do
anything at all. Right. But it wasn't like it over. They didn't look overpowering. They you know, late in the game. Yeah. They started to, you know, pull away, but each game is like the second half is kind of, it's kind of skewed. Not even on the ramp, but like, even like Buffalo, you look at Buffalo's last two games, look at the late score line. That second half, they've blown the doors off, but against the Rams, wasn't it tied 10-10 at the half? Even against the Titans last week, it was 10-7. I think they scored right before the half, but it was like 10-7 against the Titans right before the half. And then they explode in the second half. So it's like, I just feel like a lot of teams are having like these halves, you know, what better half can you have and can you carry it throughout the game? And that's when you see Miami Dolphins have a better half than the Ravens, you know, just talking throughout how football has been going in general. It's just like teams have come out hot and then sputtered, and it's been like the other way around. And I think that's what you've seen with a lot of Washington games, is just those comebacks, just desperation on their part, man. I expect us to beat the Commanders. I really do. Especially without a Chase Young harassing Jalen Hurts back there.
Well, you sold me. No, I agree. There was things that I'm pointing out is it just, like I said, cautious optimism. I think that, you know, anytime going on the road against a division opponent, anything can happen. They still do have Montez Sweat. Let me ask you real quick. Let's shift gears. We talked about both offenses a lot. On the Eagles side, as far as the defense is concerned, do you think that this is a game where Gannon continues to utilize high pressure and some man coverages to counteract what Wentz has as far as his ability to hit these three receivers? Do you think that he is going to take that into consideration? Do you think he'll play more of the drop zone because of the three wide receivers and Logan Thomas being a threat?
I think we should run a similar set because we're going against like a similar offense. Meaning you have Justin Jefferson. They still had Adam Thielen out there, and Irv Smith killed this, man. Irv Smith dropped about an 80-yarder. He could have took that one. That could have been real ugly. His numbers should look way different. He had a few that he could have, I'm sure that he wants back. So I think we should come out with the same scheme that we did against Cousins. Disguise some blitzes here and there and try to get pressure with our front four and lock on to their, you know, Slay traveled all last week. I don't think he should travel with any. I mean, if he wants to travel with Samuels, like, I get it, but I'm not sure if we need that. But if that's how our defense is playing, well, cool. Let's do that. Have Slay travel with Curtis. But Bradbury should be able to cover Curtis as well, too. You know, he was in the division last year. These guys aren't new to him. You know what I'm saying? So he should be able to be in that scheme. Where my concerns with the defense is my number one thing is N'Kobe Dean didn't even play last game. No. He played on special teams, but he didn't have a defensive snap last game. And that really jumps out to me. Like, wow, how is this guy that's come in so highly touted didn't get a snap? Yeah, he had a good, like, I think punt return coverage, or he was on return coverage. He was on special teams. No snaps. That was really, really concerning, man. And we have to get Hassan Reddick out of covering. Like, I don't want Hassan Reddick covering Logan Thomas. You feel me? Like, I don't, that looks bad. He missed a tackle out there last week. You know, even though he's from Camden, I get it. That's my dog, but, you know, I'm riding with you, but we need to get Hassan Reddick out of coverage, which means we need to keep him on the line and bring him in and make him do what he does best, and that's rush the quarterback. And because they're not even playing Graham. He's splitting a lot of time. Graham, I think he had like 48% of the snaps he took on defense last week. Jordan Davis, he only took 21 snaps on defense last week. Is this a conditioning problem? So I think if we can get N'Kobe Dean in there and then more so designate Hassan Reddick to rushing, I think that can maybe see an improvement. But I'm also sure that they are not playing N'Kobe Dean because they don't want to. It's very concerning, Lee. I'm telling you, but no snaps on defense. for a full game?
You know, they seem to be enamored, and I actually am too, with Kazir White as far as his ability to cover. I'd rather see Kazir in coverage than Hassan Reddick. And also, sure. Edwards has been playing really well, and so it's hard to get on the field. And, you know, and they've been subbing him with Bradley, and I don't know. It makes me wonder if there is a little bit more to N'Kobe's injury off, you know, in the off season than we know about. That could be why they're limiting him right now. Same thing with Jordan Davis. Mm-hmm. Let's bring these rookies in slow. Jordan Davis is a monster, so there will be a stamina mm-hmm. issue there. I do think he needs to play more than 20 snaps a game, but especially when the front four is not really getting to the quarterback on their own. My fear going into this game is that Gannon will try to just rely on the front four. To me, 4-on-5 is a mismatch. You've got to bring a fifth guy, at, you know, a good amount of the time in order to keep Wentz off balance and to make him make mistakes. You saw that with Kirk Cousins. When you brought more than four guys, he tended to make a mistake. We saw the stat with the 11 blitzes, and every single one of them led to disaster for the Vikings. It did not go well. Yep. So if they don't do that in this game, they will find themselves getting run up and down the field, if that's the case. So Gannon, to me, is, again, it comes down to what he plays. Because like I've said since preseason, once we had this roster assembled, this is a great defensive roster. They can play with just about anybody if they're in the right scheme. So there is a tendency for the Eagles to shut Washington down exactly like they did Minnesota. I agree with that. All right, so let's look at the Washington side of the ball. They've got some pretty decent players. They got Kendall Fuller at corner, Jamin Davis, who is coming into his own. We talked about Sweat on the line. Outside of that, no really big names. Jerron Payne, you know, at tackle is somebody that you got to watch out for as far as the running game. Do you think that the Eagles, especially like you talk about with Young not in there, do you think that they will struggle at all or have any type of problem moving the ball on this Washington defense, even on the road?
Well, I think when you have a division game, there's always going to be some struggle there. There's always, no matter what team you line up, there could be, because Ron Rivera, this is what, his fourth year there with Washington, so he's kind of been there the whole time. He knows Jalen, you know, so I wouldn't be surprised if they try to set up some looks. But I think, man, if the Eagles run their stuff, we have the number one offense in football right now. You know, even though, you know, the Bills look like they're lighting up, somehow these old Eagles over here have the number one offense. Nobody's putting up more yards than us per game. I think if we just do our job, man, I really do. Because the Vikings has a really good defense. And we made them look small in the first half. So I think when we're playing like that, man, the Eagles keep, like I said, was it yesterday? In the preview, I mean, you know, talking about the last game, talking about the Vikings game. Once Jalen got him off balance, man, it really made the defense look bland, because if you played man, he ran. Not even just Jalen, but the offense switched to, boom, the right play call. That's why you see Sanders getting those clips. That's because they're in man. And they're all hightailing it. By the time they figure out Sanders or Scott has the ball, now they're turning around. We're 5 yards up the field with our line that is incredible at run blocking. Now that Jalen is beating the zone, that is what's opening up the entire offense. Before, they could sit on Jalen, bop, make the move. Now, that's not really working. I thought Devontae Smith did a really good job at getting out of his breaks last week. I thought he moved quicker. I thought he looked more motivated to run his routes. Last week, we're talking about a guy that's a Heisman Trophy winner, man. He's used to being the top dog. He's used to being the best in the wide receiver room. I think he's seen A.J. Brown have that performance in his work ethic, and I think that elevated Devontae Smith. That's what a veteran does to a younger player. So I think if we run our game, man, I don't think we have to worry about who's on that Washington side of the football, because we have the talent on our side. You know, I think we have the quarterback. I think we have the line. I think we have the receivers. I think we have the system in place. I think as long as we get pressure to Wentz, we'll be fine. If we don't get pressure to Wentz, it's going to look ugly.
Agreed.
Because he's going to be sitting there. You have these young, fast receivers. They're quick. All of them are quick. They're fat. They're young. They're so young. I mean, we do too, but they're super young. But I like our guys better, man, pound for pound. I like our receivers better. If you like Curtis, I like AJ. Mm-hmm. If you like McLaurin, hey, I like Devontae. If you like Dotson, I like Quez. You know, if you like Logan, I like Goddard. If you like Gibson, I like Miles. What's up? You know, so.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
You know, that's I'm not being overly confident on the team. I just think I like my guys. I like my guys. And I think if we handle our business, man, I think we should continue to enforce this 400 plus yard a game concept on this team as well, too. I just really do, man. I'm just not being overconfident. I'm not overlooking the Commanders at all, not underestimating Wentz. I'm just looking at the sample size of their last two games. They've been down. You know, they pulled it out in the first game. Cool. But what we do know is that they've been down right. in their first two games. So why can't we put them down as well, too? And that's just where I'm coming at it. We beat a team that just beat the Packers. You know, Washington just went and whooped the Packers.
Right.
Made Aaron Rodgers look small, and then we got old Jalen trotting on there, and it's like they body swapped or something. Like, you know, Jalen was 10 for 10 starting out on this team that shut Aaron Rodgers down. Mm-hmm. So maybe will the real Eagles stand up? If this is the real Eagles, I like them. Okay? Yeah. I like them against Washington.
Here's the thing is I think that you're right on all counts as far as talent. I've said it. We've been saying it is that this is one of the most talented teams on paper in the NFL. It does come down to coaching. Shane Steichen has been calling a great couple of games. He needs to continue that. My thing is on the defensive side of the ball, we have to continue to pressure. I think that's the obvious key to the game is continue to pressure. For Washington, you know, this is a image from the Lions game, and this is the zone that they were running against the Lions. I want to see this in the Eagles game. I want to see them running this type of defense because I swear, if it's like this and like Washington did, Hurts will have a field day. He has shown now to all the doubters that he does have, it does not have an accuracy issue, especially on the run. He's been throwing the one extremely well. He's shown that he's got the arm to throw it downfield. So offensively and defensively, the talent is there. It's really just a matter of do the coaches put them in the right positions to win this game and go to 3-0. I agree with you. Right. I think that big surprise, spoiler alert, that the Eagles should go to 3-0. They should win this game really no problem. Even on the road, it is there for the taking. They need to know that right now they've got a decent NFC East that's out there that they need to take advantage of, especially while Dak is down. Take advantage of what we got and pull this game out. And it comes down to the coaching. If Gannon can continue this pressure like he did against Minnesota, the sky is the limit for this team. They really, especially, as I don't even want to look at the schedule too far, but if you take a glance at the schedule, it is a favorable schedule. But you have to win these games. And you especially have to win them when you're playing opponents like Washington. And if you look ahead to the week after this, we're going to take a look at the upcoming games. Washington Sunday at 1 o'clock at FedEx Field. But then we come back to the link the following week and play the Jaguars. So you got Doug Peterson coming back home. This is a big game emotionally. But again, it's another one of those games that the Eagles should take over. They should win that one too, but we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We'll cover that one when the time comes. But I agree with you. I think it is a situation where the Eagles really just need to take care of business. They need their coaches need to put them in the position to play the games, and Gannon needs to call a good game. If he doesn't, we're going to hear about it. We're going to talk about it here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. If Gannon doesn't call, that's going to be the title of the podcast. If the Eagles lose, it's going to be Gannon, time to go, something like that. I don't know. I've said enough about him, but I give him credit for the Minnesota thing. So I just want to see more of it. I just want to see more of it. I know it's too early. It is what it is. So we want to thank everyone for joining us on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. The game is again Sunday, Washington Eagles, FedEx Field. We will be here the following day on Monday to break it down and discuss how the Eagles exactly won the game and went to 3-0. And tomorrow we're actually going to be doing a special podcast like we've been doing each and every week, where we'll be covering the fantasy football, our results from the previous week, and then we'll be answering your questions on fantasy and who to start, sit type players for week three. We did actually really good last week. I was looking back at over our comments and the suggestions, and phew, that was good to be able to put up some good advice. My team didn't do that good, but we'll talk about that tomorrow. And we'll also be giving you our picks against the spread for week three in the NFL. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you for joining us as always, whether it's on YouTube, Facebook Live, or Twitch. Also on all the podcast providers, whether it's Amazon Music, Apple Podcast, Castro, Podcaster, Stitcher, Spotify. There's so many. And we're on all of them. If we're not on the one you want, then just make sure you reach out to us at our email address. And you can email us for questions or anything else. We check it daily. It's lee.byrd, that's lee.byrd@eaglesdare@gmail.com. It's on the screen there before you, but we'd like to hear your questions and comments. So with all that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Tubby for his final words of the day.
Yeah, if you can't find us, you may want to check your spelling, because we are everywhere. We appreciate you always stopping by the Where Eagles Dare podcast. Not underestimating the Commanders, but we do our job. We should be smiling, and we should be coming back saying, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. Talk to you guys again tomorrow.